More or Nothing.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of More or Nothing with Ryan and Max. It's a Champions Cup special, except, well, it's going to be a tough one because effectively we've got two very irate human beings in the studio.
No one's feeling particularly special this weekend, eh?
I'm so angry. I feel so angry. But didn't someone in our meeting a couple of weeks ago say that, was this not the week where everyone's the most down? It's like, you've not been paid for like a month because of Christmas. And like, you're just like, I'm way into the overdraft. The kids are doing my head in. I've been left with all of them. The missus is out. That's got nothing to do with it. But I'm so fucking angry. And Max, how are you feeling? Because remember your New Year's resolution.
I'm going to hold strong to it, old boy. Hold strong.
No.
Work. Despite being scrutinized by ginormous Africana warlords, but we move. Yellow card, unjustly awarded to myself. But coming on, I had to rectify some stuff because they were all over us scrum time. So we were already in a pickle.
Let's not go too far into it yet, Max, because I just want to check how your New Year's resolution is going. Like, have you been a happier person?
Yeah, I actually have. Like, you know, last week we saw Benno. I had a great time. Really fun. This weekend was a little bit bluey last night. Yeah, I wasn't bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, put it that way. But then I realised I was going to be on the podcast from you two fine gents this evening, and that perked me up somewhat.
But your new microphone didn't perk you up, and you wanted to finish the
bit. Yeah, sorry. I've actually rallied hard. Like, this is a fake veneer of good mood. Right now, I'm absolutely depressed. Tomorrow's Blue Monday, gentlemen. Remember that.
But anyway. Oh, so that is it? Is that what it is? Blue Monday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mercury's in retrograde. We're all about to go into existential crisis.
Right, so no, boys, when this goes out, obviously, in the morning of Monday, that's when most of the people will be listening. So we've got to try and help them through it. Like, we're angry at the moment. We're going to help all of you listening today on Monday the 15th, Blue Monday. We're going to help you through it by moaning about everything that happened at the weekend.
Right, I feel like you're more likely to be angry or happy than ever sad. I don't feel like you get sad.
No, I don't really get sad. I'll tell you something very funny though. I did Newcastle Benetton at the weekend. Newcastle, by the way. Oh, my God. But anyway, Connie McLaughlin, the lady that I was doing the TV with, I'm like, just, I feel like I'm like, I need to do something stupid. And then I run off, and you might see it. I run off screen and leg it. And the bloke in the producer's like, what are you doing? Like laughing. And I was like, my ADHD was building up. And she went, oh, so you have got ADHD. I thought so.
Oh, no.
I was like, hold on a minute. What do you mean? She's like, oh, do you not? Do you not have ADHD? I was like, well, I've been told it a few times, but I've never been clinically, you know, sort of proven it.
I'd say you're riddled with it, yeah.
Well, there you are. Apparently, I've got ADHD, but yeah, we're going to be happy. We're going to be happy today. We're not, because wait till, so let's get on to it. Mark, you steer us. You steer us.
No, because all right, okay. Well, let's start with you, Max, with that. I know you're not going to want to relive too much of it, but that defeat at home to the Bulls, 31-17. You, personally, a master of mouth management, exemplary restraint, I thought, when I watched it, because I was shouting at the telly. You stayed calm when you were yellow carded, even though everyone, including the commentary team, agreed it was a ridiculous call. You did very politely, in the most public school way you could possibly ever do, sir, what for, sir? What for, sir?
Oh, yeah, I know. I couldn't understand him. He said it about four times, angling in. And I was like, what's he trying to say? Oh, angling in. I got you, big fella. I thought that was harsh. But, mate, that Bulls pack some serious Burrowboss lads. They're big units. And they are keen to run into faces, not spaces. I can tell you that for free. And they are very strict with keeping possession of the pill. Credit to them, for they were very good. Up front, the scrum was a battle. I came on, and we had already had a few decisions, so the perception was already very much against me. And then only took some minor sort of 50-50 infringements, and I was in trouble. And that's sort of the game we play, unfortunately. Mate, did you see that meme that guy put up?
Wait, describe it, please. Describe it.
It's like, is what are those dogs called? The Doges. You know, like the Dogecoin
Doges? Dogecoin.
Yeah, the Dogecoin Doges. One Doge's like this, Max Leaf with a mic, and then Max Leaf at scrum time when he's like little panda one. I was like, oh, God. Little fetus one. I was like, fair. The internet wins again. Undefeated always. But yeah.
That particular yellow card, Max, right? Like, it didn't even need a scrum expert to... I mean, look, I know Zip Reynald didn't have the sort of benefit of watching it again, but we did, and it's 100% you were not angled in. You were actually completely straight, and that's what the commentary team said, and said that is a terrible yellow card. But it was also a pivotal one, because it felt like, you know, up at that point, the game was good. They were kind of nailing you in the scrum, but not you personally, but it was a tough battle up there. But it was competitive at that point, and I feel like it kind of really was a turning point for the whole match.
Yeah, so then the next scrum happens. Then obviously that rule comes into play, so 13 players on the field. And then you're up against it if that team's got possession. They managed to score a try right at the end of my period of 10 minutes. And then I just felt like, yeah, there was a lot of juice lost after that. You know, when you're just fighting for like putting out fires left, right, and rhubarb. And man, the Bulls just kept their foot on the throat. Fair play to them.
What was the vibe in the dressing room afterwards?
It was mausoleum-esque. Yeah, it was quiet. It was a bit. It was like a lot of focus on trying to restore some sort of home form for us at the moment, because as a team this season we've somewhat battled at home, which is unlike us. But trials and tribulations. Hey,
it's not all dead though. It's not all dead. You can still go over to Connor.
Oh, I know. Especially after that Sarries result, it's looking interesting. We go to Connor, we do a job. We can be right up in there. So. All to play for.
We'll get onto it, because that's an absolute farce, really, that you can still go
chase. No, let's not.
We'll get into that in a minute. Like, there's a few things that I call a farce at the weekend.
Ryan, we've both got the same question. Come on, ask Max.
Is that right?
Max, where was it? Where was the Gryffindor hat?
Lads, you won't believe this. And it wasn't because Ben Earl bullied me mercilessly about it. I have more self-esteem than that. I have more gumption and backbone than that to cave under his insincere peer pressure. No, you know, someone grasped me up, boys.
What?
I will find you and I will kill you, sir. Someone's reported it to World Rugby saying it didn't pass health and safety regulations or some such. And also, I had a crispy black number, a stealthy black on black. It was looking delightful. And anyway, yeah. So I got an email from said officials, and they were like, wear it again, see what happens, or else. But yeah, no, they were pretty understanding about it.
Did they scare tactic you?
No, not like that. No, they were attacking you. But yeah, someone basically reported us to the authorities.
That is a fucking joke, isn't it?
Nah, that's the world we live in, Rye. Bureaucrats, I don't respect them. And neither do other people. Anyway, it is what it is.
That's an absolute disgrace. Well, it's probably for the best. You know what? I actually think it might have been Mark. I think it might have been Mark that reported it.
It was Mark. Ben Earl. Like, Ben was like,
Ben Earl.
Howling scrum cap. I'm going to have to tell someone about this.
Oh, I can't believe your shite scrum hat, your shite looking scrum hat has been banned.
No, absolutely world class bit of equipment. But anyway.
What a loser. Whoever wrote in to complain about that, what a loser.
I'd be impressed, gentlemen. Anyway, sad times.
Come on then. Let's go to now crossing over to an irate pundit, Ryan Wilson, getting in scraps with Flats Online. Dish it out, Rye. Come on, mate.
I saw him at the game. I was actually next to him at the game because he was obviously doing the ITV stuff. Boys, I still can't quite believe it. And
well, explain what's happened, because some people might not have actually watched the match. Go on, give us some context, because it really was an amazing finish to that match.
Glasgow started well. They've run away from it. But Exeter, we know, they come back against Toulon. Who else did they came? They came back against someone else recently as well, back at home, Munster. So they can come back, right? And they do. And they come back well. And they play well. Glasgow played very well as well. But they scored right near the end. And that was it. You thought, oh, this is it. One last roll of the dice for Glasgow. They make a great break down the left-hand side. Anyway, get into 22. Scrum, Exeter. Last play of the game, Max. 5 metres out. Bottom hand corner, they're on their pretty much on their own try line. All they've got to do is get the ball in and out and kick the ball off and happy days. But they don't. I don't know who the replacement back row was at the time that was on, but he tries to kick the ball out. He absolutely shanks it, grubbers it off the field, and Ewan Ferry for Glasgow picks it up, goes over, scores. It's gone mental. I'm like, obviously, I'm impartial. Remember, I'm impartial, but I'm come on! Like, the boys are going mental. It, like, scenes are ridiculous. All the Exeter boys, you can see on their faces, oh, we've lost it. They've not had any complaints. Old Baxter's straight on the thing. You can see him on the microphone, yeah, like, giving it that. He's trying to get a message down. Referee, try. On-field decision is try. He's happy, right? So line up the kick. Then he's, oh, we're going to go back and have a look at it. Of course we are, because we're at Exeter. Everyone's booing. You know what it's like. The ref's going to go back and look at it, okay? And it almost felt like he was going back to look for something to not give the try. That's what it felt like. That's almost what it felt like. Anyway, he goes back, and the first thing he says as he's going back is, I'm happy with the nines, and there was pushing and shoving. Now, there was a load of infringements, it looked like, but the first one you look at is George Horn trying to get past Stu Townsend to get to the eight. And there's pushing and shoving, as there always is. But Stu Townsend clearly throws an elbow up, right? Which is a penalty. So there's one, okay? And the pulling and shoving, but George Horn pulls him, he falls over. Anyway, that's all going on. As the eights picked the ball up to try and grab it out, Ewan Ferry's come forward and caught the ball, the grubber, taking it, gone over and scored. Now, they deemed it that he was disconnected from the scrum, but the scrum collapses, right? And the six for Exeter is in exactly the same position as Ewan Ferry, so they're both disconnected. So I don't really get what the rule is. If this was anywhere else on the field, they wouldn't even look at it, they wouldn't even bother, they'd be like, oh, you don't go back and look at it. But the fact that it's 5 meters out and it's such a big moment in the game, they then feel like they need to go and look at it in like tiny little details.
Oh, I'm watching it now. It's mental. It's absolutely mental. But
No, don't give me your answer yet, Max, because I want to try and fight my case for Glasgow. Okay, the scrum goes down, what everyone's saying is, oh, he's lost his bind, the flanker. What does he want him to do? If you're a prop and I've still got my shoulder pushing you into the ground, no, stupid idea. Everyone stands up and he keeps his hand connected, as does the Exeter six, right? So they've both got a hand connected. They're both in exactly the same position. And the best thing about Ewan Ferry is he doesn't leave. He doesn't even go past the tunnel of the scrum until the number eight for Exeter has put both hands off. Now he's disconnected and he's picked the ball up. Add to that the infringement before that, which is the number eight, once you engage in a scrum, you can't then change channels. As a number eight, he also changes channels. So there's another penalty excuse there. So there's loads of penalties in there, right? And it's ridiculous. And actually, if the ref had come out and gone, George Horn's pulled him over, let's reset it. Or the scrum's gone down, reset. That's the thing I think that frustrated me the most. It's the fact that he's not gone and reset the scrum, or he's not picked on a probably something that was more blatant. He's gone for that. And you're just like, oh, absolutely stolen. Obviously, Glasgow still in the running, still make it through, but it would have made it a hell of a lot easier with Toulon coming up to Glasgow this weekend. So there I have it, and you get a load of knobbins on Twitter that are coming at me but haven't actually watched the whole thing or don't understand everything. Yeah. Because when the referee says, I'm happy with the nines, then you're, as someone watching it, you go, right, well, that's it, so it's not about that. And then people are going, yeah, but George Horn's pulled him over. That's a penalty. Yeah, but the ref said he was happy with it. So if he's saying he's happy with that, how can you listen to his other call, which was incorrect? I just fucking, God, it made me so angry. And do you know what, boys? It made me realise how much I still care about Glasgow Warriors because I was fucking furious. Right, point made. I'm happy now. Happy.
Catharsis, rant over. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
What do you see?
When 21 goes to charge the ball down, as he, say he is bound, let's say he's bound, right? I'd say he's bound there. He can only go when he picks the ball up, is that correct?
As soon as the eight picks the ball up, which he does, but equally, as soon as the eight releases his bind, because as soon as the number eight releases his bind to pick the ball up...
You can go. That's the rule. That's the law, sorry.
Yeah, because the number eight releases a bind to pick the ball up. Because you can't have the number eight stood at the back with his arms and shoulders off the scrum.
Of course you can't. Yeah, that's true.
Pick the ball up. As soon as he releases his bind, you can go round and go for it.
Yeah, I'd say it's player.
Even waited for the moment that he put his hands on the ball. So that's why I can't stand it. But they're saying that the referee deemed it as he didn't have a bind. But I get it. What? Shoulder on arse is meant to be the bind. But once it's gone down, the ref hasn't said scrum over. Everybody else is standing up. It's just
scrum is over, isn't it, when it goes down like that?
Well, that's it. So, oh, mate.
It's all down to the ref's interpretation. So, yeah, it is what it is, I'm afraid, old boy.
But isn't it bizarre that he didn't go with... Like, firstly, favour the attacking side anyway, but he's made the call and it's not a gross error that he has technically... You know, he said he's got no problems with the try and it's then not... You know, technically that, as you've said, there's all of these other things that are happening. The scrum has it collapsed and normally, as soon as it does, then immediately the scrum is over, right? And you should be blowing up immediately then. Why hasn't you, at least at the most basic moment, reset the scrum?
I'm with you. That's it. That's what it should have been. It should have just been a reset scrum. Fine.
Exactly. And then you know what? There wouldn't have been all this.
Yeah. Just a reset. Yeah.
Just reset the scrum. Because if that happened outfield and it goes to deck like that, oh, I don't know. I just feel like this is the problem with rugby at the moment, that you've got, when something's 5 metres out, there's so much, you go and then go, actually, that's a law. So we're gonna actually stick by that law. But then if it's in the middle of the field, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Every 2 minutes it happens and no one picks it up. But then if it's either at the end of a game or in a specific position which is tougher to defend, then you start making them a law. So, yeah, shame.
It's a hard game to breath. Look at everything that's happening there. There is so much to look at. It's a tough game to ref.
Yeah, and I suppose the other one you'd look at is the red card. He said he started on the ball and went up. He didn't. He head on head first and shoulder to chin on Dunkey Weir. The good thing about Dunkey Weir, tough little bastard, just hops back up and gets on with it. He's been belted in the nose. And he just gets up and carries on. If Dunkey Weir had rolled around the floor for a little bit longer, they would have. It was a dubious one. I think it could have been a red card. But like we say,
we prefer
the game
that,
carries
right?
on. We've got 15 players still involved. You'd rather see it. But if you take that into consideration as well, you know, all these fans going, oh, just dry your eyes, mate. Dry your eyes. I'm like, fucking...
Wills, though, okay, what about... So after the game, did you go and talk to the boys? You know, what was happening? Like, were they, like you, angry? Were they just, like, deflated? Were they still questioning what the hell had just happened, you know, or what was the sentiment?
Yeah, they were more asking me because I went down. I usually go down and have a beer with them in the change room afterwards. I try and still get that feeling.
That's the good bit, yeah.
I go and sink that feeling, like rub a bit of mud on my face and go down and feel like a
full kit wanker going in again. Come on, mate.
But no, I went down there and like even Frank Smith said he was proud of the boys, the way they fought and they played well at times. But yeah, the boys were more like, mate, what did he call it for? Like, what we don't understand? Like, no one really understood what was going on because it's just over like that at the end of the game. And then, yeah, so they were all right, to be fair. I think they were just gutted. But they were like, there's nothing we can do. It's over, isn't it? So they go on to next week, Toulon at home. And they haven't been going very well, have they? All Toulon. Bloody rock bottom.
Did they stay out on the lash or did the boys fly straight back?
No, they stayed down there. I'm not sure whether they were going to lash, but I was a very sensible human being and came back straight after the game. I was toying with the idea of staying down there, but I was like, no. My dryish January, I've got to get back up.
He's totally lying, isn't he, Max? He is so lying. He was out in Exeter till 4 a.m.
January.
My dryish January has gone well. Mark, you lured me into that. You made me have a beer.
Can you please explain what actually happened, Ryan? Okay, to be fair to Wills, we're having lunch together and he orders like steamed salmon and broccoli. And I'm like, oh, that looks so AIDS. That looks awful. And I was literally like, and then he's like, and then I ordered a pizza. I don't finish my pizza. No joke. He orders a ginger beer. So he sat there sipping his little, what looks like a dreadful drink and an awful lunch. And then I don't finish my pizza. So he's like, oh, can I have a slice? Maxie, I shit you not. He had two bites of the pizza. We both look at each other and we're both like, two beers, please.
So what about the pizza galvanized the beer?
I don't know. It was just like, I don't think you can have pizza without a beer. Can you? Just every time you have a pizza, you're like, yeah.
Is that true? I don't know.
I think that's a thing. I think it's a thing. Nice cold beer with a pizza. Oh,
it was so good.
You're a degenerate.
It was just. Yeah. He'd be so good. He'd be absolutely so amazing. Oh. And then suddenly. So,
again, for all of you that are sat there on Blue Monday, the 15th of January today, having fucked up your New Year's resolutions, Max was angry earlier on. You should have seen him.
No.
There you were. And I might have had a beer by accident. So I lasted 6 days. But I did. Oh, no, I did
Don't
have a beer.
Drag me down.
I just love beer. I just like having a beer. I just like having a cold beer. And yeah, okay.
In any case, you were good for most of it. Oh, also, the poo pills thing. Looked into it. It's like 1,700 quid to do like a course of it.
Told you it's a thing.
To eat somebody's shit. I mean, these guys have got the most incredible racket going on in the world.
Isn't it?
Our producers just come in. I was pissed off at £1,700. £17,000
I can get
some Backstreet fucking feces. Great. That's what I want.
TikTok shop. Whilst we're on it, I did a little shout out last week saying that the Blair Kinghorn episode was coming out. It was absolutely fantastic, as you boys, I'm sure, can agree. It was so good that we've created a whole separate episode for Blair Kinghorn, and that is coming out on Wednesday morning. So if you're listening to this, you know the Blair Kinghorn episode will be out on Wednesday, and it's worth the wait.
Yeah, yes, he's weird. It's really
it's
weird.
So good. It?
Did we talk about Blair in the Toulouse game then? Nice little plug on.
Yeah, great segue. Let's talk, obviously, Toulouse doing what they do, Dupont doing what he does, but they've put their place in the knockouts thanks to a good win at Ulster. And yeah, good Blair Kinghorn setting up Dupont with a sizzling break.
Yeah, he was outstanding. Toulouse just on fire. Ulster couldn't keep hold of them. They were rampant. And our old mate Blair Kinghorn, Smog, as you now know him, boys, he looked like he was firing well. And he obviously involved in Scotland, starting at 15. Gregor Townsend will be happy the way he's going, the way he's playing. He set up a lovely little try for Dupont, but they were just all over him. Ulster, nowhere to be seen.
Let's talk about a full-strength Saracen side hammered in Bordeaux. You've been there as an understrength Bristol side, Max, where you guys actually put in a really superb performance. But
I've lost
that's
Mark.
That's a result to kind of resonate around Europe, right?
Yeah, it's definitely... it'll definitely register, that's for damn sure. I mean, if you think about it, like Leicester and Sarries have both been sort of spanked a bit, and a lot of the mainstay of the England squad is going to come from those two teams, and they did go fairly full strength against both those guys. So is it something to worry about going into Six Nations? I don't think so, but I'm sure a lot of people will see it as sort of the herald of darkness of English rugby. But only so long ago, we were talking about the first round where all the English teams are doing a job. So round by round, gentlemen, round by round. Sarah's will come good, no doubt about it. But yeah, that back line, Bibery, oh my God. Damien Penno, Matthew Jelly Baby, oh, they were out of control, weren't they? That that try where Jelly Bear takes the ball, does someone, then he does Marrow through the middle, feeds it, and then it finishes up with Damien Penno. Oh, man. It's just fun to watch, though, isn't it? Like, because we're sort of very much more used to sort of the kick tennis battle of attrition of kick territory here in the Prem. When you get to see sort of games like that with those sort of players where it's just absolute zeal and joy and running the ball, it's almost like evil versus light, you know, the sort of Gondor versus Mordor, the sort of the true nature of rugby. But yeah, man, hell of a statement from Bordeaux, and I'm sure Sarries will come out firing. Who they got next? They got someone. They got Lyon at home, so yeah, they'll be frothing for that one.
That's in your group as well, isn't it? So they obviously need to go well against Lyon. Lyon have qualified as well, so you're just hoping that Lyon don't go, we'll just send over the bomb squad.
And will they send the bomb squad?
I don't know. French rugby, Lyon away from home at Sarries. They've already qualified. You might have something to worry about there, but you're right, though, in terms of Bordeaux, Jalibert, like with Entomac out at the moment for France, he is firing all cylinders for France, and we're getting close now.
La Rochelle back in business, the defending champions hammering Leicester.
Bloody hell, Big Willy.
Did you see the Guana celebration? Oh, I was just like, how good.
How
absolute good. Throwback to Greg Inglis, except 145 kilos.
Wiping himself across the floor. Yeah, oh, the man's on fire. They really showed up, didn't they?
They really did. They looked like they had the bit between the teeth, didn't they? They were desperate to cause some harm.
Oh, they bloody were desperate because of the bloody tournament and the fact that they can still come in and do something.
Gregory Aldrit making his long away return from sabbatical, doing bits as always. How much does he look like Carl Urban, by the way? I always think of him from Lord of the Rings when I see him.
Yeah, he does. He really
does. What does a dwarf for health and a man doing the Riddabach? Speak quickly. You know that bloke. Or the guy from The Boys? Billy?
What is his name? It's the same guy.
Yeah, it's Carl Urban, yeah.
Yeah, Carl Urban. Yeah. But he does look... I think he really looks like him in The Boys. That's what I always think.
I haven't got a fucking clue what either of you are talking about, to be honest.
Watched The Boys? You'd love The Boys, mate.
It's the best show ever.
That's a bit of you.
What is it?
So good.
It's like if superheroes were real, what it would actually be like. Like they're all absolute degenerates and drug addicts and they all just are corrupt. And
I've watched that. There's a bloke that runs really fast and he runs through someone and splats them all to pieces.
That's really good.
I like that.
Now, do you remember the lead detective who's against them? Billy.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's the invisible super... You know that bloke? I think he looks like Gregory Aldrit. But Pierre Bougaritz, very good as well. Very, very good. Dylan, I mean, everyone was class, let's be honest. No one had a weak game for La Rochelle. It was a good game to watch. A lot of fun.
Before we get to the one-sided section of our show, Bath Racing, great stuff. Finn, again, if we're picking a Lion starting fly half, who are we going? I mean, he was in every single, did you see the Times did a like, now let's look at the Lions now that Faz has been picked as the coach, and every single one had Finn as the starting 15, as the starting 10, sorry.
He's got to be in there, isn't he? The way he's going at the moment at Bath as well, he's so good to watch, and he was banging boys today as well. That tackle on Wocky. What was the other? There was another tackle, like just shy on someone else. Absolutely just going to town on boys. I've never seen it in him. It must be all the gymming he's doing that he was talking about in the Christmas set.
Once a week.
Yeah, but that's it. All he needs is once a week. Imagine if he went twice a week. Bloody hell. He was, he was going for it. I love that. I love to see him play like that. They just look like I don't know. Did you, Max, did you think when they went down and Racing started getting away with it, part of me was like, oh no, is this going to happen? Are Bath going to? But I feel like it could be the year that they do something pretty special, Bath.
Yeah, I think they've got a really good team in terms of the strength and depth. So like they can play 80 minutes easily, like very well. And like you can see the sort of psychology they have now. There's just so much belief about that team. Mate, so much fun to watch. Did I think you knew they were going to come back though? I thought they were going to anyway.
I'll tell you something, boys. Like at the moment, I only go to watch rugby if I'm getting paid. But the Rec is somewhere I would probably want to go and watch rugby if I got a ticket for free. Because £90 a ticket or 150, whatever we're saying it is a little bit too much. But what a place to go and watch rugby! It's absolutely bouncing down there.
They can sense it, can't they? They can smell something's on the horizon. King Midas at 10. It's all looking very rosy. Mate, class outfit at the moment.
But that's it now. I think Cam Redpath cements his place at 12 for Scotland as well.
I concur. I think he's very good. No real weaknesses.
You've definitely got Finn in there at 10. You've got Cam Redpath and you've got Sione Tuipulotu at 13. I think that has been nailed down now and that is your starting team. Darcy Graham and Duhan van der Merwe on the wings and Blair Kinghorn at 15. Easy to call.
Ooh, la, la. Oh, great. Flower of Scotland. Oh, my flower of Scotland, eh?
If only there were some forwards, mate, to back it up, you might actually have a good...
But that is it. That is it. That's the only worry I think I have is the forwards and just the depth. I think we'll get onto it at some point, but, you know, a few of the guys didn't show up this weekend, but you've got Adam Christie, who's been playing pretty well for Saris.
He's actually been one of the brightest sparks of that pack at the moment, 100%. Yeah.
So you'll see him get a bit of a shot in the Six Nations. But going back to that Bath Racing game, oh, what a game. And tell me this, can you get banned for two yellows?
I think he will. They'll have a look at those pretty hard. I think they were quite violent, weren't they, let's be honest. He was pretty lucky with the first one.
Well, yeah, talk to me on the first one then, because I sort of enjoy going onto Instagram just commenting when people go red or not and just saying no. And watching the hate and like the anger come through, because I was feeling angry. I thought, why not chuck it out to some other people, make other people
it's
angry?
Contagious. But it's contagious. Yeah, patient zero.
Is your, like, because it didn't actually, it wasn't head contact. It was under the chin. I don't think he hit him straight on the chin. He got underneath. So his neck.
Oh, I thought it was in the chin. Yeah, but neck's head. I think by the rules, neck is head.
Yeah, because someone said something about, you know, if it's his neck, then is he not touched his chin? I said, well, it depends on how long his neck is, but.
Depends if his mother was a giraffe. Yeah, no, it is his head, I'm pretty sure. So yeah. He's in a bit.
You're right, he was pretty lucky to get away with that one, but it seemed, that was a yellow card, definitely the forearm to the throat.
Yeah.
Was it Lagerac? Was it him?
He paid well as well, actually. He was very good.
Talking about those nines then, who's the Bordeaux nine?
Maxime Lucu. So it will be between, I think, Lagerac
it's
and Lucu.
It's between those two, 100%.
That's it. Well, it's your old man's away. Dupont's away on his seventh adventure. Then those two will step up, and they've got some pretty good replacements there, haven't they? In nines.
Yeah,
so.
They're both class.
What a day at the Rec.
But Barbary was really good, man. Alfie Barbary was on fire, mate. You see those little confrontations with Sia off the back of the scrum?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In terms of like the one-on-one tackles where he's gone round him, scored for the pick and go. He's got through him a couple of times. He was very up for it. Should be interesting to see if he gets like, who's playing number eight for England in the Six Nations?
Well, that's it. Does he get a sniff? Yeah. Like, do coaches look at him and go, oh, he's not really what we want at international level? Because he's playing well. He carries well. That's what he's there to do for Bath.
Man, that's what he does. That's him, isn't it? He's a machine. He is very good over the ball as well, though.
I like his hair. I like his hair a lot. I'd like to run my hand through his hair.
Very luscious. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'd be good mates, me and Bubs.
He's a throwback, isn't he, to a time before. Yeah, time before the pros.
Did you see after, by the way, what a ridiculous goal. I think it was Elliot Stook maybe dragged him over the try line.
And what do you think of that?
What? That's a made up rule, isn't it? You can't drag him over. Of course you can. He's latched on and he's dragged him over the try line. That should be a try. But my favourite thing about him was Big Alfie, when he stands up, the shirt's up just under his nipples and his gut's hanging out, and he purposely, just doesn't give a fuck. Just stands there, gut out, giving it the,
This is what big athletic performance looks like. You might not like it.
I've got a lot of time for that. But you look at that. You, between him and Finn, hold on a minute. How are these two absolutely tearing it up in European rugby? I think he's got a shout for England, Max. I think he should have a shout.
No,
anyway.
I think he definitely should be involved, 100%. I think he should have a shout. His appetite for carrying is, there's not many bit like him, to be honest. He's absolute class.
So that's it then, in that pool two, Stad.
Well, actually, just hang on, Ryan, just a quick word on kind of, and look, like to get your honest opinion on this as always, but Racing have lost this 3 from 3, and yet they are very much still in the running to qualify for the knockouts, you know, because they've only got to be in the top four in their group. They're just 2 points behind...
Ulster.
Yeah, so you're sort of like, does the format work, Max? You're in that format. You've been in there. You've gone across to Bordeaux with not necessarily your first team. You know, what we want at the moment? Is it what the players want?
I don't know. It doesn't feel much different for me.
What? Say what?
Do you know what I mean? Ultimately, mate, what you want is people. The only thing that people are really annoyed about is the teams, the resting teams. Is that that's the narrative you're getting from this?
No, mate. Because if you lose three games in years gone by in the Champions Cup, you should not have a chance to be getting through to the next stages. It just doesn't make sense. I think they've completely messed up the whole format of the competition. Take it back to the Heineken Cup and give us Heinekens after the bloody game.
Because it used to be, don't forget, the top two teams in each group would qualify for a quarterfinals. So you almost really couldn't afford to be taking your away games lightly. You needed to go and win on the road. And every game was, there was some jeopardy here. I mean, fuck, Racing are like, all right, let's start winning now. And they could still go to the knockout stages, which is kind of, they flipped it around where it doesn't matter if you lose. Whereas before, it really used to matter. There were groups of death where you were like, well, how are they going to get out of this? Because, you know, they need to win almost every game.
Also, you avoid absolute trounces. Yeah, Northampton are on fire at the moment, but Bayonne must have been smoking 20 packs and drinking pints of red wine before they went out and played that game, because they were fucking useless. Back in the day, that is an acronym. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was six points, top two, and it mattered a little bit more. But you're right. I don't think there should be a way that teams can rest players as much as they are or not taking games as seriously.
But I'm making the same point as you. I'm just saying the symptoms of the problem, of the cause. But yeah, I agree. I do agree, don't worry.
I suppose the only other way to look at it is next weekend, there aren't any dead rubbers, I don't think. There's still people, everyone's in with a fight and in with a shot to make it through. So it all goes down to the last weekend. If you want to try and have a positive spin on that and try and keep it lighthearted.
Every weekend used to matter, and now it's not necessarily a you know.
Mark, I'm with you. I disagree with that. You look at that group, though, then Bath and Toulouse and Quins, they're through, and it's basically a battle for those bottom two, Ulster and Racing. But yeah, having lost three on the bounce and still able to make it through and win the tournament, you imagine it? It'd be crazy.
With that in mind, look, we obviously love the South African teams and the South Africans, but do we think there's an element of having them involved, having those massive distances, meaning there's no real atmosphere in the games as it's always one-sided because there's no travelling support, effectively? Has that, in a weird way, diluted the competition, even though it's great having the strength of the South African sides in the tournament?
I don't know, man. I like it. I like the idea of travelling there. I think for other people, maybe for someone else, it's like, nah, it's not European rugby, etc. But I think it's great.
Yeah, and I'm with you. If I was planning it, I'd be wanting...
Yeah, no, I'd love to go to Cape Town or Durban and play in the hub of that and be amongst all that hostility. 100%. Sounds glorious to me. It sounds what sort of rugby's all about, to be honest. More for
it. By the sounds of all the players that I've spoken to that are getting to travel over there and go over there, they're loving it.
And it's
the Challenge Cup as well. Like, teams that aren't really... They're getting to travel to South Africa in the Challenge Cup and go away almost like a holiday.
Yeah, and it's like the actual... It's such a big rugby country as well. That's also what makes it special, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's obviously a big part of it.
Also, I mean, you saw it, Max, on Saturday, where they're just unearthing. They unearth, like, a couple of players I've never even heard of, and they're absolute monsters. And you're like, what is going... Who are you?
They are different specimens. Bro, they just pop out of the ground. You're absolutely right. It's mental. The back line was a joke shop. I was like, looking at them, I was like, oh, mate, Marcel Coetzee is a big fella, isn't he? Is he
on the telly, he looks quite big.
But yeah, no, the centre partnership. Whoa, a couple of racehorses, a couple of thoroughbreds. Yeah, it was, mate, yeah.
He looks slick. But also, how good is that? I find it weird that Jan Goosen, he looks a class player, and he was in France, he was so good. I mean, there was that big fight over him. He's so good, but I always find it weird that he's kind of in the chat, but he's never, you know, he's not getting any more Springbok caps. I always find it a bit surprising in a way.
Yeah, mate, he's always been very good, hasn't he? Yeah.
Well, gents, I just want to take this opportunity, as per always, to say a massive thank you to our sponsors that are Wolf Craig Distillers. Been with us all the way so far and continue to support us. You can head over to the website, Max, which is
wolfcraig.com.
You can grab yourself a lovely bottle. For those that are listening, I'm holding up wonderful gin, boys. Sealed, don't worry. I've not been drinking it. I'm going to wait till February. That's right. I'm going to wait till February for the hard stuff. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to carry on with my dry January, dryish January, by just drinking beer. But a huge thank you to Wolf Craig for their continued support.
Right, boys, let's round off the show with a bit of international chat, if we will. Let's have a quick line, though, on Andy Farrell as Lions head coach. Probably no surprises, and you know, the man for the job, right?
No complaints, absolutely zero. He is the guy. Right, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I was thinking Gats maybe again, but
yeah, he's a
Benny Jones is around.
Got him.
There you are. I'm making Max smile. That's all I wanted.
Mate, I'm happy. I told you this.
Yeah, I know. And I just want to see you smile more and make you even happier by saying stupid things like Eddie Jones for
Lions.
I think definitely the right call. I just hope that he is looking at some of the Scotland back line. Do you know what? Let's just throw like one out there for the Lions team that he's going to pick. I'm going to put Sione Tuipulotu in there. I think Sione Tuipulotu, the way he's playing, should be in for a shout for the Lions right now.
Max, what's your...
It's hard because we've not got any international games to go off at the moment. But if there was one, like, bit out there one...
Yeah.
A bit out there. Fuck, that's hard.
By the way, hold on. Owen Farrell, just on this, whilst you're thinking, Max. So Owen Farrell is not playing for England at the moment. But May. So... His old man could just pick his son.
Mate, come
on now. Let's not be petty. That's pathetic.
No, I'm not being petty, but I'm just saying that could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. It's well deserved.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think everyone's going to question literally like England's record point scorer who's like been on like three Lions tours and like has won everything except the World Cup. Somehow it's like, oh, nepotism.
No.
Didn't deserve to be in the squad. It's only because your daddy's the bloody coach.
There will be that thrown around, though.
My Lions bolter will be Courtney Laws. even though he's retired from international rugby, he will make his bow out for the Lions.
Oh, my. You heard it here. You heard it here. Max Lahiff. How can you... Mate.
Hey, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Retires from international rugby, retires from England duty. And he's like, you know what? The swan song? Down out.
And it's far enough away from the dinner where he earned all the cash.
Yeah.
That people will have about.
Exactly. He's a loophole. Beautiful. Yeah.
Wow.
It just works.
Oh, that is so good.
Boys, who's your captain?
Well, I mean, I won't give too much away, but when we asked Bernal about being England captain, we were like, he was like, oh, it's not going to happen. And I felt like, did he know something that it wasn't going to be him? Because I think maybe the person that's getting touted at the moment is Jamie George.
You're thinking along the Benny Earl, the vibes.
By then, you never know. He could absolutely tear up in the Six Nations, have the best game ever, and almost become England captain, couldn't he? He's young enough. He speaks so well. Like, I was so impressed with him last week, Max. Like.
He's a good statesman, isn't he? He's a very good statesman.
Yeah, but he says it honestly, though. It doesn't feel... I was trying to explain it to people here.
Like
it doesn't feel like it's put on and it's mediated. It's completely sanitized in a media way.
Like,
it's honest.
I feel like he just has a great seamless mask game. That's what I think he has.
Mask that's a tough one, though, eh? That is a tough one. That's a very tough question. We'll have to come back to that.
Okay, so on to our next... and final round of questions. Six Nations squad announcements coming up this week. Boys, give me three bolters for Six Nations selection.
You know who I really want to see in the England team is Curtis Langdon, the Saints hooker. I would like him to get a shot. I know Theo Dan's Steve Borthwick's man, but I think he's tearing up trees. He's a big part of why Northampton have been so good this year. So that's a little bolter from me. Or even Tommy Freeman, get him back in there. He's put his hand up for that 13 shirt as well. So
I'm with you on Tommy Freeman.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I think he'll be in and amongst the squad because he can play a bit of everywhere as well.
Yeah, he can play everywhere. He's ginormous. Yeah. What about Scotland?
See, from that Northampton squad, whilst we're on it, I think you'll see Rory Hutchinson back in there.
Hutchinson back in for Scotland. Yeah,
because he's so versatile and he can play a bit of everything as well. He can slot it at 10, he can play 12 and 13. I think he might even be able to 15 because you look at Scotland at the moment, with Ollie Smith out, they're struggling at 15. They haven't really got anyone other than Blair King on, so he's the man at the moment. Maggie's not a bad shout. How's he been going?
Magnus Bradbury, get him back in.
Mate, he's not played since 2020, has he?
Yeah, but he's still got it, man. He's still horrible. Yeah. He's a real problem. Just give him the pill. Let him run forward. Nightmare.
I'll tell you, one player back for Italy who was outstanding at the weekend for Benetton was Menoncello. He was...
Oh, yeah. Apparently he's the guy.
And he tore his bicep in the World Cup, which ruled him out of the World Cup. So he's just come back from that. And I'm telling you now, boys, he was a handful. He cut him to absolute shreds. So Menoncello and Brex, that's your centre partnership for Italy.
Wales, Morgan Morris or Mackenzie Martin at 8. Cardiff and Ospreys, respectively, both very young. Morgan Morris obviously scored that wonder try on the Everglades field they were playing on. Did you see that? Jesus in the trucks. That was class. I really enjoyed that. That was a throwback.
Did you see Barks?
No.
John Barkley said, absolute disgrace. Disgrace. The state of the field and then using a lorry as a stand. And they've named it the John Barkley suite now. And they've got...
Yeah, and they put that portrait in. How good.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely. The media man at Ospreys has been on form there. So, but yeah, there you have it.
I think, those are my two quarter back rowers for Wales. I think they're looking dangerous. They look like they've got international pedigree about them. I think... lots to see from those two.
Well, boys, the Six Nations Netflix series is out. Blue Jan, whatever you're calling it, Blue Monday. I'm looking forward to seeing the scene with Smog in there because apparently you go back to his house, Blair Kinghorn's house with his mum. And there's just pictures of him naked everywhere. And she's like, oh, you're always naked. You're always naked, you were. Imagine how weird he was in the episode, mate, which is coming out on Wednesday. Imagine Netflix cameras in his house. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. I just enjoyed the way he talked a lot. It was a very strange sort of... It wasn't third person, but it wasn't quite first person either. It was very sort of... very enunciated, like he was telling his story from a sort of point of view that wasn't his own.
We saw a bit too much of him, let's be honest, as well, I think. And...
Yeah, I know. It's good. It's good. That's all I expected from him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's out on Wednesday. So that's something to look forward to. But unfortunately, that's all the time we've got left for this week. A huge thank you to Ryan and to Max and to you all for watching and listening. Do subscribe. Do like. If you're in a room with somebody and you're talking about the pod and you happen to just grab their phone and you happen to put it to their face with the ID, or you happen to somehow creepily know their passcode, tap on subscribe in the podcast or on Spotify and get us those numbers up, because that'd be really great for us. But from everyone here, hope you have a great week, and we will see you all next week.
More or nothing.